Would you turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3? And I'll read from verse 19. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 19. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the depths were broken up, and clouds dropped down the dew. This really is a wonderful and poetic way of describing the creation. And there is a view popular in the world that the universe in which we live was simply the product of a random explosion, matter and energy kind of firing out from a central bang. But what we have in verses 19 and 20 is a description of the wisdom in which the world was made. And of course, there's very much about the universe we do not understand. But it isn't random. It isn't destructive. God purposed it and planned it according to the unknowable decrees of his own heart. Wisdom, which is what Solomon has been writing about so far in the book of Proverbs, is the means and perhaps the motive by which God created the earth on which we live and the heavens above us also. It talks about the depths being broken up. And God did so by knowledge. There is nothing about our planet. There is nothing about ourselves which God does not know, which God does not grasp, which God cannot understand. From the complicated, unknowable depths which were broken up to even a simple rain shower. The wisdom of God is the signature of all creation. Wisdom is not just knowing what to do in a difficult situation. Wisdom is being like God. God cannot do anything which is not wise. God cannot be foolish. God cannot make a bad decision. God cannot overestimate or underestimate. He cannot misjudge. He cannot misalign. The whole cosmos which we live testifies to the wisdom of God, the laws of physics by which the stars are governed, the laws of morality by which we are governed. And then he moves on. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Well, what must we not depart from our eyes? It is the knowledge of the wisdom of God. Let it be forever before us. May it be the principle by which we act, by which we live, by which we sleep, by which we die. There are so many things we can look at. There are so many things we might keep close to ourselves. But my son, writes the father, let not wisdom and discretion depart from you. They will be life to your soul. Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Well, what does that mean? When we become Christians, we come alive. You know, when Adam and Eve rebelled in Eden, they did die. Physically, they did not die straight away. But something died within them spiritually. And when we become a Christian, there is a spiritual resurrection taking place within us. There will be a future resurrection of the body, but a spiritual resurrection, a coming back to life. Wake up, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. And we who would live by the wisdom of God, we find it to be life to our soul. And even grace to your neck. I quoted this morning how Jesus said, put my yoke upon you. Who wants to wear a yoke? Who wants to carry a burden by which we might pull something along like an ox or a horse? But actually they who labour under the wisdom of God. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Solomon says, then you will walk safely in your way and your foot will not stumble. A couple of years ago, I had to go to Preston and I had to be there for about half nine in the morning. But my car was in the garage. So I thought, I'll go by train. I'll catch the bus to Colne, and from Colne, I'll catch the train to Preston. It seemed a good plan. The night before, I looked at the train timetable. And there was work on the line. Not to worry. There was a bus from Colne to Blackburn, and then from Blackburn to Preston, a train. But because the bus is slower than the train, the bus was setting off about half an hour before the first bus from Barnoldswick to Colne. I thought, how am I going to get there? I decided to walk. Now, I should have got a taxi, but I was thinking of the cost. So I walked in the dark from Barnoldswick to Colne. I set off at 5 o'clock in the morning to make sure I could get there for about 6:30 in the morning. And I thought, well, I'll go along the canal because there'll be less traffic and, you know, any ne'er-do-wells who hang about canals probably aren't going to be there at 5:30 in the morning. Well, I took a torch and I'm glad I took that torch because the canal towpath is very rutted and the ruts were full of water. Now, in the day, they stand out, but in the darkness, they don't. And it did occur to me that not only was my plan particularly foolish, I should have got that taxi, but had I tripped and stumbled on the rutted path, I could have gone into the canal and I wouldn't have been getting to Preston that day. Well, I'd like to think that I'm a little wiser now than I was 2 years ago, but when I thought of verse 23, it reminded me of that journey. Then you will walk safely in your way. And your foot will not stumble. Let me give you another illustration from Marsden's walking. A year or so ago, I climbed Blencathra in the Lake District. And it's that great big hill overlooking Keswick. And there is a little bit of scrambling involved. But the rocks were slippery and the path up was narrow. There was a fall on either side. And we did it and we thought, you know, not such a great walk. But only 2 days before that, someone I know had climbed it and they'd fallen. And they spent 8 weeks in Newcastle Hospital in intensive care. Now, had I known they'd fallen on that route, I wouldn't have gone. But thank God he kept my foot secure. And we are at the start of a new week. You may not be going walking anywhere. But this new week in which we're about to walk, I don't know what it holds for you. I don't know what it holds for me. it could just be another humdrum week which we forget, or it might be there's real difficulty and there's real danger on either side. But there is a wonderful promise here. For those who seek the wisdom of God, who do not let Christ depart from their eyes, you will walk safely in your way. Your foot will not stumble. That means a lot to me. Furthermore, it says, when you lie down, you will not be afraid. Well, why would lying down make us fearful? Well, the imagery here, of course, is one going on a journey. And typically, when you go on a journey where, you know, you're travelling in this way and your foot will not stumble, you're often laying in unfamiliar territory. And when you're laying down, you are most vulnerable. You know, when you're standing, you can look around. But when you're laying down, you are most vulnerable. But it says, when you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down. And your sleep will be sweet. Now, I know that when one is worried and agitated, sleep is hard to come by. But here is one who has been in danger of falling, in danger whilst lying down. He is in a vulnerable position and a difficult place, and yet he sleeps sweetly. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. The danger here is not just stumbling on a path, but there are wicked people out there who would attack this pilgrim, who would attack this traveller. And yet he sleeps sweetly in his bed. He is not afraid of a sudden terror, a creeping up in the dark, nor from the wicked ones when they come. And it does come. And here we have the reason. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. The one here who is laying down to sleep, who though the path is rutted and there is a canal nearby into which he might fall, though trouble is almost certainly coming from the wicked, though there are terrors which might suddenly launch upon him, his sleep is sweet because he's able to trust in the Lord confidently. His foot will not be caught in a trap, nor a rut, neither will he trip. Now, in closing, let me ask you, what is it that's saving him? Is it wisdom or is it the Lord? In one respect, the two cannot be separated, because genuine wisdom is knowledge of God. And when you know God, not just about him, but when you know him, you know that he delivers his children. He will rescue, he will keep safe, so that when all around you is falling down and there are worries on the left and dangers on the right, you can sleep sweetly. That is wisdom. It's called knowing God and trusting him for the future. It's not so much the being wise which is keeping this man safe, but the knowledge of his God. Therefore, fretting and worrying about the future, that is not being wise, it's being foolish. It's letting the knowledge of God depart from before our eyes. It is not keeping sound wisdom and discretion. It is not having our necks graced with the knowledge of God. It's trusting self rather than God. Therefore, I say to you, in summing up, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. That, my friends, is why you need not worry about this coming week, this coming month, this coming year, or the rest of your life. Trust in God and let God do the worrying. Amen.